want today to address something that we do discuss from time to time, but like all of things with the Word, we do need to be reminded and we need to go over these things over again. And today we're calling our teaching, God's Word perfects us in love. God's Word perfects us in love. And I'm basing this teaching today from 1 John chapter 2 and verse 5. In 1 John chapter 2 and in verse 5 he says, "But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him." Now, the emphasis of this epistle is about God's light and love. And it's the emphasis here John gives is to walk in it. And as we walk in his light and in his love, this results in confession. It results in relationship. It results in being washed, cleansed, perfected. This is all the nature of this epistle and what John emphasizes. And so, like with all things, God redeems us, he sanctifies us, he cleanses us, he washes us. These are all spiritual processes that are needful for us to walk in this life as pilgrims. There is still too much this emphasis of, I'm born again, I've confessed my sin, and I'll walk in the light. I wish that it was that easy. It would certainly make our teaching a lot easier. I mean, it really would. And yet when you start to present, and it can still even go on in this body, that we present that we are to walk in this light, that we are to be worked on, perfected, which means that we are to continually be cleansed. All of this is about our walk with God and a relationship. And it means that we are every day to seek God, to go into that place where you meet God, which we call the closet. And your closet can be anywhere. But it's a place where you meet with God and you commune with God. And yet we find there are still saints that don't do this. And one has to raise the question, are they walking with God? Are they in this light that John speaks about? Because it's all about walking in the light. And if you walk in the light, then you walk in God's love. And it is God's love that always draws us back into his presence. Because without that love, there's nothing to draw us. And that is the problem. And so one has to raise these questions. Do they know God's love? Is God's love drawing me back into his presence? Yes. The question you have to raise and ask yourself, well then, do I really love God? Do I love him? Is it just lip service? Am I going through the motions? Am I being religious? We can come to church each week, yet we can say these things, and yet we don't really love him. How do we know we don't love him? Because when the trials and the tests come, we find we are indignant, we find we are offended, we find that there is that pride, and so we turn our back. Now, of course, it takes the love and grace of God to indeed draw us back. That is the point. And maybe we tried to turn our back on God. Maybe we tried for a season, you know, not to walk with him. And yet we find we're miserable. We find there's no peace. We find we're wretched. And thank God for that, because it is that that draws us back into his presence. And so that's why our Paul is teaching today, God's word perfects us in love. And that is why we need the word of God. That is why the word of God is so essential. Because you cannot be cleansed. You cannot walk in the light. You cannot know love, God's love, unless also the word of God is feeding us that from the throne of grace. You cannot take one aspect of this walk and neglect the rest. And the Epistle of John clearly reveals that. The Epistle of John shows how a saint is to walk with God, and God's provision is there to enable us to be able to walk in that light. And that's why he will clearly say, if anyone says they haven't sinned, then they are a liar. Yet, however, on the other side of it, he says that we're not to continually walk in that sin and enjoy that sin, because if we do, then there's something that's wrong. However, God makes provision. And if anyone sins, we then have that advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one, the one who has stood in our place, who's taken on your burden, has taken on our filth, our grime, our sin, our rebellion, our unbelief, you name it, whatever. He has stood in the dock, in the gap, and taken on that responsibility. He has said, I will take on his or her responsibility, and I will pay whatever is needful in order for them to stand right uncondemned. So in order for that to be achieved, we are going to do it Jesus' way. It's not just one-off thing. It is a continual walk. It is a process. Why is this a process? Why is this cleansing a process? Why is the word of God that we have to hear each week a process? Because the emphasis in the epistle is about being perfected. For without this perfection, this holiness, no man will see God. And so we're left in this world for God to perfect us. The bride is making herself ready in this sinful, rebellious world. The church is being restored back to its apostolic faith, still in this sinful, rebellious world. Now, if that isn't a challenge, I don't know what is. Now, only God could do that. Only God could do that. And not only that, but he's perfecting us. There is a degree, a standard of perfection that God is going to require and want from us for the church to be raptured. And it's going to be a standard and perfection of consecration, of belief, of heart, of attitude, and so on. That is what I believe that perfection is about. And in order for that to be done, we have to walk in this love. And so he says, for whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. And so this cleanses us, it keeps us in that right standing with Him. John says, if we don't love, we don't know God. That's the whole emphasis. He says, if you don't love, if you harbour hate, resentment, unforgiveness, you do not know the Father's love. Quite clear. Quite clear. You might be offended by that. You may have been attending church for many, many years, but the fact is you don't know God. Why? Because it speaks of fellowship with Him. And that fellowship with Him is the inspiration to our faith.
Yeah.
It's not only inspiration to our faith, but to obedience. You see, the whole source of our being sustained and kept comes from the throne of grace. And we're absolutely, we deceive ourselves if we honestly think that we can be something different, live our lives in the world, out there different, and then be different when we come here on Sunday to church or our meetings on Tuesday, or we harbour resentment, unforgiveness. We are totally deceiving ourselves because we are not at that point being preserved and kept by the grace and mercy of God. How can you be? Not only that, but you cannot actually keep God's word. You might like the word religiously, but that won't save you. That isn't keeping it. Now, in this verse, it speaks about keeping His word. Now, what is our idea about keeping His word? Do we see it? Well, I come to church every Sunday. My heart's desire is never to miss a meeting. Good. I'm not saying that's good. That is good. But what is the motive? Well, I read the Word of God every day. I've got all my notes. I've got everything there. I've got my set plan for the year. And I go through it religiously. And I read my 3 chapters every day. Fine. But is that keeping the Word? It's interesting, the understanding of keeping this Word, because it actually means to keep it safe, protected, preserved. And here we get the idea of what God wanted to do with Israel. God gave revelation of Himself to Israel and no other nation for the primary aim that they would be custodians of the Word of God.
Yeah.
That their ministry, their light that God wanted to put into that nation, would teach eventually all other nations. They were to look after that revelation. But Israel failed that in failing their sonship. In rebellion, they couldn't keep the word because they didn't like the word and so forth. It exposed everything within them. So God has put now this responsibility on the bride of Christ who's making herself ready. And God will not give revelation and give us the illumination to receive that revelation unless He's teaching us something. Not only, of course, to hear the word, which faith comes by hearing it, reading it also, but also we learn something further, that whoever keeps His word, truly the love of God is perfected. So we are, in actual fact, to be keepers of the word. God is revealing the revelation of His word, the deeper life, through vessels. You and I, who are the church. And the church, as we're told, is, or as John says, is a light unto the world. Now, when God gives his word, the nature of God's word can never be hid. The powers of darkness may try to interfere, may try to harbor, may try to stop the word of God, and this is of course why we pray. We pray regular for the word of God, we walk in the spirit, simply because the powers of darkness try to rob us of the word. We know with the parable of the sower. Why is that one of the greatest parables? Because God is teaching that the church is to be custodians of his word, the revelation of his word. Not just, she's not chosen and separated so that she merely teaches them the law of the letter. No, it's not. Under the new covenant now, we're preserved and kept as the church to teach revelation of God's word. We're spirit taught. And that's what makes this so important. And that is why the devil attacks like he does. This is what God is doing. And so here we get this idea that we are to keep it. We are to protect it. We are to preserve it. We do not throw it out willy-nilly. It's precious. It's life. It's either ministers life or it ministers death. And from it comes faith to sustain us and keep us and to help us to embrace and experience the promises of God's word. That is what he says there. You're keepers of his word. And if you are keepers of his word, then truly the love of God is being perfected in you and I. Now, it is one thing if we are receiving this word, but it is also another thing that we should be experiencing God's perfecting work in us, a love. There's no point in receiving the word of God if you are not being perfected. What is the point? Because that's the whole nature of it. The nature of the word of God is to wash us. As I always keep saying, God's brought you and I here today because we need to wash. But you can go to the wash house and you can hang about, but you don't necessarily have to wash. You can be in the area. You can actually go into the room. And there's all the showers and all the baths and the tubs there. But doesn't it say you get into it? You can go through all the motions and come out, and you can kick people that you've been and had a good wash there, but you haven't. But the provision to be washed is there. That is the point. And if you love God and call on him, something within you can't wait to get under that shower and have a good clean and a good wash down, because, you know, I've taken on some grime this week. See, try to bring me down and so forth. That's the whole nature of it. And not only that, but you should enjoy it.
That's right.
What a privilege to be able to be washed by God's word ministered by the anointing.
Amen. That's right.
You know, what a privilege that I can be washed down and I have met with God. And he, you know, that is what it's all about. If you're only ever going to hear the word, oh, another message, oh, it's got my name and address on, yes, I've missed it, yes, you know, here we go again, here we go, you know, condemning, and am I ever going to get it right? That's what you're missing. Because that whole attitude and motive is stopping you from going and getting washed and cleansed. Of course nobody can keep the word. Of course it's got our name and address on. Of course it's impossible to walk in the natural. Tell me, what is new? But our faith will look at it totally different. Yes, it's got the name and address on. Oh yes, it's her. Yes, another nail's gone in. But praise God, I walk by faith and not by sight. You're sick of it. You're sick of it. This same idea of protecting, preserving, keeping, this also brought up this idea in other areas. For example, if we look at 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7. And here the apostle speaks about his walk, his race. And he says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. There's the same word again. I have been a custodian of it. And my reward is going to be in heaven. How did the Apostle Paul know that? Was he looking at the results of his ministry? Was he looking at how big his ministry was? Is he looking at how many churches he established? No. He was looking at his faithfulness, making it through to the end. That's what God looks for. Not at the accumulative amount that you have made, but by being faithful and enduring to the end. What is he speaking of? The faith. So the faith that we are in, the faith that we confess, we also come to its completion.
Yeah.
And in that time, we are preserving, keeping it. We are custodians of the faith. That's again the idea of it. This is why we stay with the deeper life teaching and the faith teaching. This is why I will not let this body move away from it. Because I have seen from the scriptures and what God has revealed to me, he has entrusted this to us.
Amen.
We let this go, and I'm not saying we're the only ones by any means, but we let this go, and it will do a tremendous amount of damage for the future of restoration. You say to me, well, there's not an awful lot going on. There's not, because we're here. That is why. And we've just got to face the fact. We're here. And God is providing for that hiding. His grace is sufficient, because none of us would have remained. We would have left this years ago and gone to other churches where outwardly it appears as though it's all happening. Wouldn't we? Well, I know I would.
Yeah.
So I know this has to be God, because he has shown us something that the world cannot show.
Mm-hmm.
I know that we would not get any of this in many of these places. And it's not to put them down, because God knows the level of where they are. There are levels in this walk.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've been interested this week. Again, there's all this talking on education. And, you know, politics today wants to make it, in a sense, one tier. They want everyone to succeed. It doesn't matter what your education is, what your background, how clever you are. They all want you to be academic and to have your GCSEs and your A-levels and so forth. Wish it was like that, but come on, let's face reality. And that's not actually how the principle of how God works. It's on the principle of what you sow is what you reap. And there was someone in debate this week who was trying to emphasize this, and said again, which we've always said, university is not for everyone. But it doesn't mean to say that they're any less. They have other skills, which will be far more appropriate if they go into apprenticeships and whatever, and there are others where it's right that they go to universities. And let people aim to the goal that they have within them, and reward them accordingly. Oh, no, that's conservatism, that's into the past and so forth, that is elitism and so forth. I thought, they just don't know, you see. They don't know what the word of God is. But you know, that is exactly what is going on in the house of God. We know, and we have seen from Scripture, that there are seven aspects to resurrection. It's there if you look at it, and you spend the time. All different rewards. And so, it's the same with this walk. And that is why we are to preserve and keep with what God has given to us. God made no mistake when he revealed this and drew us into this right from the word go. Because if God made a mistake way, way back, then if you're not sure, you will never ever be sure. Whatever you join, whatever you go to, you will simply start to drift like so many do, from one ministry to the other, to the other, to the other. Why? Because they're never sure whether it was of God in the first place. I'm sorry, but I don't want to walk like that. I hope I don't sound disrespectful, and please receive this in the spirit and nature that I give this, that I actually expect far more from my God.
That's right.
Amen. I really do. So God's word perfects us in love, and that's what we're answering today. We see another area of this in Ephesians 4, chapters 1 to 3, which speaks about our fellowship, our unity, our coming together. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 to 3, here it speaks about when we speak, walk in unity, in love. He says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavouring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, one Father, above all and through all and in all. Here is this same understanding again that we read back in 1 John 2:5. One calling, one fellowship, one unity. And what do? We endeavour to keep that unity, that fellowship. And that can only ever be accomplished by the fact that we get off our backsides and we come and we join together in God's presence. Again, this whole idea and understanding of what we've been speaking about here. So that we keep his word. So we're keepers also of true fellowship. Koinonia. How will the world know otherwise? They won't. We know that there is a false unity and fellowship that's coming up now. The ecumenical. Which anyone can join and jump on the bandwagon. But that's not what we're talking about here. So we see these emphases about us being given the responsibility. So we have been given the responsibility of God's word to keep it. We have been given responsibility for the faith to endure, to stay with it to the end. We have been given the responsibility of true fellowship and unity. And on those three things, God can build his body.
Amen.
And perfect it. And so if we keep his word, his love, then we're told, is perfected in us. Oh, I find it so hard to love. Dear. You know, it doesn't matter. I go through the week and find that somebody upsets me, or, you know, I just don't agree with that, or that person, I just wish they weren't around. And, you know, we all go through it. Whatever. Well, the word of God says is perfecting that love. That is how the love of God is going to be worked in our hearts by this word that we receive week after week after week. And so he says, if we keep this word, we hold on to it, then the love of God is perfected in him. God has promised in return to bless you with his love because you have chosen to keep his word. That is God's deal he has made with you and I to work with us because we have kept his word. Why is he doing that? Because he knows in ourselves we can't love. No man can love the love of God. Not in us. So he has said, you keep that word and I will perfect my love in you. And this perfecting idea, as we all know, speaks about maturity, coming to a completeness. So the body, the bride who makes herself ready, she's coming to her completeness. And it will be in love. So we have to abide in him, and he in us, as it speaks about, in order for this love to be perfected. So, how do we do this? How is this accomplished? Well, actually, it actually means, in many ways it reads, settle down with it, get on with it, and let God do it. Get out of the way. See, we get in the way. My unbelief gets in the way. I can't love that person. I detest that. Or, well, you're in the way. Settle down. Get out of the way. Let God work his love through us. If you love his word. That is what he's saying. You remember last week I spoke on 2 Corinthians about the promises of God's word that cleanse us, work on us. I just want us to read that again in context of what we're looking at. In 2 Corinthians 7 verse 1, remember, which says, therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So here it is, these promises, which is what the word of God cleanses us from the flesh. Problems with the flesh? Of course you have. We're weak. We live in a sinful world. This world is Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yeah.
And we've been tainted by it, grimed by it, conditioned by it. God says, as we stay with the word, it cleanses us. It's going back to this idea of getting into the tub, getting into the shower, and being washed. Washed of what? The world that grinds us, that tries to get our flesh to conform to its ways. It washes us, cleanses us. Again, that's the nature of God's word. And so God's love is perfected in us, and it can only take his love, because our love is impossible. And God is going to perfect his love. Without that, he cannot take his church to himself. So this is the task that God is at work with. And we know that we are tested in these areas of love. And that is why the body is so essential, and our fellowship is so essential, because this is where God works his love in us. You can't get that love worked in you if you're on your own, sitting in your room. I was listening to a program where it was saying how the church now has moved forth in an absolute dimension. The church is becoming digital. And there was a program on this. It's becoming digital now. You can join into church now online. There are all these churches. Now you can have fellowship. They're all getting excited. They're all going for this now. So this is where getting the gospel out and so forth. Now, we use digital technology. We're using it this morning. And thank God and praise God for this. And it's a sort of convenience when there are times you can't get to church. But it's not a substitute. You can't survive if that is what your life is going to be. It's simply joining in, tuning in to the meetings. You will never be perfected in love unless you come under the true unity and oneness and under the banner of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is how he's ordained it.
Yeah,
now this idea of the church becoming digital, it's as though we're digitalizing God. Dear, I thought if the enemy doesn't work in one way, he will work in another. You know? But praise God, he's still one step ahead. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But we've got to be careful, because we're very dependent now on our computers, going on the internet, getting all the information, everything we want, it has its place. But that isn't my true worship. And I've joined in sometimes into the room. And they are a blessing, don't get me wrong. But there's a heck of a difference when you actually come together, when you're under this anointing. You don't experience that the same. No way. No way. Thank God for that. Thank God. And so that is my point. We're here also to be perfected in love. So as we're hearing this God, this word, and as faith comes by this word, what is the result of our faith producing the love of God? Because faith operates by love. I believe the greater works that we will see will come from the love of God.
Yeah.
Not our love, not our emotions, our feelings, but it will be led, inspired by the love, which is a vast difference. That's how Jesus operated. And so then, to go that extra mile in a trial, or with a brother or sister, or with a boss at work or whatever, that's an experience. Our love is to be experienced, because the whole epistle of John is knowing. It's all about knowing. Knowing the love of God, knowing that you walk in that light, knowing that you are cleansed, knowing that the Word of God is giving you life. It's all about knowing. And yet there are some who still don't know this. Why? Well, it is so evident. It's all about knowing. You know, when I first heard the Epistle of John preached years and years back, this emphasis about knowing, something within me just rose up and said, Lord, whatever this takes, I want to know him more. There's this insatiable appetite that's there. Thank God for it. That's what gives us life. And so it gives us an experience with God. And so, you know, when we go through these trials, these tests, sometimes where we're rejected, we're lied, we're gossiped about or whatever, we have that experience of God's love to hold on to draw back to. That's what anchors us, because it's coming out of experience. That is the point. And you see, to resist that taking revenge, to getting one's own back on that person, whatever it is, your experience of God's love can just leave it. Because he says, vengeance is mine, I will repay. You do not have to prove anything in this world, as I have always said. Whatever the circumstances, whatever they're saying, whatever you've gone through, whatever they're doing or saying about you, you do not have to justify yourself. God will do it. We are daily like sheep to the slaughter. We die daily, as the Bible says, that the life of Christ is manifest through us. Let them say it. Let them do it. Let them plan and scheme or whatever it will do. You walk on a different plane, a different level. You're not of this world. You're simply passing through. I've sometimes had to say, when yes, it's hurting, Lord, it doesn't matter. Who am I? It's about your glory, it's about your name they're attacking, not me. You see? And you know, when you can rest in that, then that grace is there, that peace is there. You're not trying anymore to strive, to try and clear your name. Everybody today wants to clear their name and suing people and taking them to court, justifying clearing their name. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. See, we're delivered from that. That's the good news of the gospel. See, it is absolutely vital that we are experiencing God's word being perfected in us in love. Never get that. The perfection is love. That's its goal. That is its aim. Ephesians is all about that. Yeah. About unity. The body. It's a mystery being revealed. Being shown. And it's still a mystery. You know, the church, the type of church under the old covenant was here. It was there in its embryonic form. Today again, we find ourselves in this last day with it again being and will be revealed, unveiled. How tragic it is that the church failed to reveal to the world in her ministry the mystery of the body of Christ. When she let the Holy Spirit go, it all went with it. The revelation of it. The mystery of it. It went. Satan knew exactly what he was doing. When he started to cause Christianity to be compromised with Constantine. And so then that old denominational harlotry spirit started to come. Yeah. And what happened? The mystery of the church, the light of the church, went. But God has always had a remnant.
That's right.
Because if there wasn't a remnant, that light would have totally gone. So, before we point the finger at Israel, where Israel failed, eventually we get this awful, tragic scene written, I believe, Isaiah or one of them, I forget now, where eventually the Spirit leaves. Eventually he goes. And Israel, for nearly 400 years, is without any teacher, any prophet, any voice. Now, you know, the church is going to say, oh, well, we won't do that and everything, but we did. It did happen. It went again. History repeated itself when it should never have happened in the church age. And so God, in his mercy, who doesn't have to do this, has said, I will restore. And I will bring her back. I will bring her out of bondage. I will breathe life back into her. I will put all the sinew and the tissue, and she will live again. As well as Israel, because Israel and the church work together parallel, side by side. As Israel is being restored, so the church is being restored, brought back. Why? So the mystery of the church, the revelation of the church, the light of the church will again speak in the last days.
Amen.
Because the church is to teach the nations. The church is ministry is to bring people to Christ. And that is why it's going to have to take the millennium in which to do it. Is the church doing it now at this present time? I'm afraid she's failing badly. Because she's doing it in her own strength. She's doing it in the flesh and not in the spirit. That is why we protect this word. That is why God has made you and I responsible. And he has provided the grace, the provision in which to do so. And that is why our meeting, our coming together, our fellowship is so vital in this last lap that we're in. We are not far away from this. And how the powers of darkness are trying to get us to go back. How the powers of darkness are trying to just work that apathy. How he's trying to get us to become foolish virgins. He's working overtime, trying to make foolish virgins in this church. That's what the Spirit's been doing, because I know he's been trying it with me.
Yeah.
But we will not. Because he has begun that work, will complete, finish. There it is again, the completion, the fulfillment. It has to come to completion. Why? Because God has spoken it into being. And his word never returns void. Amen.
Amen.
Father, again today, we are truly grateful. You know how to speak life into us. You know how to encourage us, Lord. Cleanse us. Wash us. Just continue to keep our vision set upon you, seeking the kingdom. Lord, when we come together and when we hear messages like this, we become so aware just how active the devil is trying to be. He gives himself away, Father, when we receive life like this. How active he's trying to be. But he will not make foolish virgins out of us. We are your wise virgins, Lord. Taking that word, the oil of the anointing in our lamps and vessels. We will have that light of that day when the call goes forth. Lord, we thank you for this in your mercy and grace. Thank you today again. You've made the meeting possible.
will not.